To focus our thoughts, I'd like us to look at these two verses from a book in the Bible. It's a letter that was written by the Christian leader Paul, one of Jesus' apostles. He wrote it to his Christian friends in the city of Rome, the most important city in the whole empire. He was planning to come and visit them on his way through, he hoped, to Spain. He was wanting to bring the gospel across from the eastern part of the Mediterranean Sea all the way across to the western part. And he hoped that the Roman Christians would help him in that task. And he wanted them to get excited about the gospel. So he spent a lot of time telling them about the good news, about how, even though we're born as rebels, God had a rescue plan. He sent his son Jesus to rescue sinners like us. And he spends a whole 11 chapters of his letter speaking about that. But then he turns from what the good news is to how we live out the good news. And these are the first two verses of how he goes into that. He says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, I thought to help us come to grips with this, it would be useful to maybe put that in other words, maybe expand it a bit and put it in a way that maybe brings the meaning out a bit more clearly. This is a bit longer, but I trust it's going to help us to see things a bit more clearly. I think what Paul is saying is, my brothers and sisters, in view of all that I've said so far in my letter about the good news, I appeal to you to respond to God's mercies. Set apart your whole selves for him and offer all that you are as a living sacrifice that pleases him. This is an appropriate way to serve him in worship, one that flows on from what he has done for you. So don't let this world and the present age push you into fitting in with them. Instead, be reshaped by the new patterns of thinking and acting that God gives you. When this happens, you will live out and prove in practice what God desires, what is good and acceptable to him, and achieves his ultimate purpose. I think that's the sense of what Paul is wanting to get across to his Christian friends in that huge city of Rome, as he wants them to get excited about the gospel and excited about how to live out the gospel. And you might say, well, what's that got to do with worship? I've highlighted in red the bit that brings that into focus for us. Paul says, set apart your whole selves for him, offer all that you are as a living sacrifice that pleases him. He says this is an appropriate way to serve him in worship. The literal Greek word Paul uses is logical. This is a logical way. It flows on. If God's done that, it's logical for you to do this. So that's why I've chosen these two verses to focus on, to help us to come to grips with the idea that worship is about all of life. So there's the hook we can hang our thoughts on tonight. And I think there are three things that we can learn about being a living sacrifice to worship God. The first thing is that our sacrifice says thank you. It doesn't say please, it says thank you. The second thing we can learn is that a suitable sacrifice fits God's requirements. It fits in with God's pattern. In the version that we read first, the usual translation of the Bible that we use here in our church, there are two words that are used to translate. It says, suitable sacrifices are not conformed, they're transformed. And we'll have a think about that. And the third thing we learn is that this all means that if we're a living sacrifice to worship God, it involves being holy, being set apart for God. It means pleasing Him. It means living out His will and travelling towards His ultimate purpose for us. And that's especially in what I've termed the length and breadth of our lives. It means from here, right until the time, if we're trusting in Christ, that God takes us from this life to be with Him in heaven. So the length of our life and the breadth of our life, everything that our life involves, the whole kit and caboodle. So sacrifice says thank you, not please. A suitable sacrifice fits in with God's pattern, and it means being holy, pleasing God, living out His will, travelling towards His ultimate purpose. So I've put my kind of other words version up there with the idea of a sacrifice and worship there in the middle. And I've highlighted in blue some of the portions that bring those points into view. Okay, let's focus on this idea of sacrifice. Paul's writing to Christian friends in Rome, and they were surrounded by pagans. The whole city of Rome had temples to pagan gods everywhere, and the people used to go to these temples all the time, and they'd go to the priests in the temple, and they'd bring all sorts of different sacrifices. They'd bring maybe little statues or food or sometimes drink offerings, all kinds of things. They'd bring a sacrifice into the temple. And the Romans are familiar with this. The whole idea of, okay, if you're worshipping, you're bringing sacrifices. Now, in a lot of times, the pagans had the idea of, oh, the gods are angry at me, I've got to try to get right with the gods, so I'm going to bring a sacrifice to make the gods happy with me. I've got to get right with the gods, so I'm going to bring a sacrifice. Now, that's illogical worship. That's wrong worship. Paul has just spent 11 chapters telling the Roman Christians that the way to get right with God isn't by us bringing sacrifices to Him. It's through the sacrifice that He has already given, His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the sacrifice that makes us right with God. So the first thing we have to get right out of our heads is any idea that we can bring a sacrifice that is going to make us right with God. No way. We can't bring ourselves to God and say, look, God, I'm being a really good person. Please make me right with you. No. What Paul's talking about is God has shown His mercy. I've spent 11 chapters, Paul says. I've spent the whole first bit of my letter telling you how merciful God has been. We're all born as sinners and rebels against Him, and He's shown such mercy, He sent His Son to die for us, to die in our place. That's how merciful He is. Why don't you respond to that mercy? If someone's shown you great mercy, it's natural and logical, it flows on, that you go to them and you say, thank you. Thank you for showing such mercy. I deserved something really bad to happen to me. Instead, something really great's happened to me. Thank you. And so our sacrifice, our living sacrifice, is thank you, God, for making me right with you through the death of your Son, Jesus, and through bringing Him back to life. We can't think we can bring a sacrifice to God that's going to please Him so much He'll make us right with Him. He's already done that. So the first portion there in blue, my brothers and sisters, in view of all that I've said so far, I appeal to you, respond to God's mercies. Say thank you. There's no need to say please because He has already done what's needed. If we've trusted in Christ, we can say thank you for saving me, So what is an appropriate way to go about saying thank you to God in this way? Paul says an appropriate way to serve in worship, one that flows on from what he has done for you, your logical service of worship, is to set apart your whole selves for him. Offer all that you are as a living sacrifice that pleases him. Now think again of the pagans. They turn up to their temple, they see their priest, they say, here's a little statue, or here's here's an animal that we're going to kill, or whatever. These things are dead. So the whole idea of the sacrifice is that it's, maybe if it's an animal, it's alive, and then it's dead. It's a dead sacrifice. Paul turns that on its head and says, we are to come as living sacrifices. Every day of our lives, as we live, as we take breath, on and on and on every day, we're presenting ourselves to God as a thank you offering to him. Living out what the gospel means in our lives. But just say the pagan neighbour of the Christian in Rome thinks they can turn up to the temple and bring some scraggy, mongrelly, deformed animal that they don't really need, that they can care less about. It was going to die anyway, so they may as well bring it. The priest in the temple is going to say, that's not a decent sacrifice. Do you think the gods are going to be happy with that? Even pagans understand that you have to bring a decent, proper sacrifice if you're going to offer it. Certainly, God's people in the Old Testament understood that in the sacrifices that were pointing towards Jesus, that they had to bring the best of their animals. They had to bring the best. They had to bring what fitted in with God's requirement and God's pattern. Paul says we should offer all that we are as a living sacrifice that pleases him. It's a sacrifice that's set apart for God. It's holy. It's acceptable to God. So how do we work out what this pattern is? What shape, if you like, or pattern should our lives fit in with if we're going to live as living sacrifices to God, to say thank you to him, to worship him in view of his mercy to us in Christ? Well, Paul points out when we're living in this real world, in this present age, ideally we should be fitting in with the pattern of life that God has given us. But there are forces at work. There are the forces of this world around us, the age that we live in, that want to push us out of shape. Or, in another way of saying it, they want to push us into the shape that they think we should be in. Paul says, don't let this world and the present age push you into fitting in with them. In the previous version, don't be conformed to this world. Don't fit in with the shape that this world wants you to take. God says, I want you to live a life of faithfulness in relationships. But the world has a push and pushes that pattern and says, no, it's okay to commit adultery. It's okay to sleep with somebody else's wife. It's okay to have sex outside of marriage. It's okay if two people of the same sex have a sexual relationship together. That's all okay. That's fine. The world's pushing us into fitting in with that shape. And that's going on day by day by day. The world is trying to make us and push us into fitting in with its pattern of thinking. Paul says if we let the world do that, we're not going to be acceptable to God. We're not going to be pleasing to God. we're not going to be really set apart for him. The world is trying to set us apart for its use. If we're really going to be fitting the pattern of an acceptable and proper sacrifice, living sacrifice, to say thank you to God, we've got to fit in with his pattern. So if we're not going to be conformed to this world, what should happen? Paul says we should be reshaped by the new patterns of thinking and acting that God gives us. In that previous version, Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the world's at work outside us, trying to squeeze us into its shape. But God, through his Holy Spirit, is at work within us, if we're trusting in Christ, to give us new ways of thinking. Okay, the world says, and maybe my culture says, that yeah, sex outside of marriage is okay, or it's all right to steal things from other people, it's okay to tell lies, it's okay to use God's name as a swear word, a whole pile of things. My culture around me says that's all okay, but actually the Word of God tells me something different. And as we start thinking in those new ways, as our mind becomes new, we think, okay, God has made marriage as something really special between one man and one woman. It's actually to be a reflection of the relationship between his son, the Saviour, and the people that he's saved. That's how special it is. God's a God of truth. He hates lies. God says we should respect the property of others, not steal it. As we get new ways of thinking, as we think along new patterns, we start to live out those patterns. And so instead of being squeezed into the shape the world wants us to be, we take on the shape that God wants our lives to be, because he gives us new ways of thinking, new ways of understanding, new ways of seeing things, and ultimately a new way of living it out. So what does all that mean? It means being holy, that's being set apart for God's use. It means pleasing him. It means living out his will. Paul says, when this happens, you will live out and prove in practice what God desires, what his will is. You're going to prove what's good, and what's acceptable to him. And he uses a word that's translated in the other version as perfect, which kind of means mature or achieving the ultimate goal. And I think that's the sense that Paul means. He says, when we actually refuse to be squeezed into the world's mould, and when we're reshaped by the new patterns of thinking and acting that God gives us, we actually find out in practice. We prove in our day-to-day lives what God desires, what God's will is. We find out what's good. We find out what's acceptable to him. And we actually work towards, we're moving closer and closer towards his ultimate purpose for our lives. Now, in the very beginning, God created human beings to reflect what he is like. He made us in his image. Our first parents spoilt that by rebelling against him. But it's God's purpose in Christ to make us more and more and more able to reflect what he's like, more and more and more like the Lord Jesus. So his ultimate purpose, his ultimate goal for us, is that we become more and more and more like Jesus. And as I said, this applies especially in the length and breadth of our lives. Throughout our whole life. It's not just something that's, I gave myself as a living sacrifice to God, that's it, I can live any way I like now. It's every moment, every breath, we're presenting ourselves as living sacrifices to God. And it's in the breadth of our lives, in everything that we do. It's not just, it's Sunday, I'm going to be a living sacrifice today, or this is religious stuff, so I'm going to be a living sacrifice, but when I'm with my mates at soccer, or with the girls having coffee, or whatever it might be, I can just be myself. No, it's every part of life. Every moment of life. Our whole selves as living sacrifices, saying thank you to God. That's how we worship him. One of the ways we worship him. And this, I think, applies especially in our relationships, because God within himself is a God of relationship. Father, Son and Holy Spirit in perfect loving relationship. And so as we interact with others, we have opportunity to live out God's purpose for us. I'd encourage you as you maybe go home tonight to look at the rest of this chapter and see how Paul outlines a whole pile of ways that we can live out and say, live out the gospel and say thank you to God as logical worship. And you'll notice that a lot of them have got to do with the network of relationships that we're in, how we interact with others, how we can show love to them. So I trust that as we're building up a picture of what it means to be engaged in worshipping God, we've seen that our being a living sacrifice says thank you, not please. It's being transformed, not being conformed. And it means setting ourselves apart for God and living out his purpose for us. Next week, we'll be looking at the question, why should we worship together? Isn't it okay if I can worship God, if I'm a living sacrifice? Can't I just be that on my own? What do I need other people to get together to worship with? That's an important question, and one that we'll be looking at next week.